every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRCMAHA.
Oh, FNA, sorry. Brain freeze.
Or any of the Anons.
We don't speak for any of those guys. As a matter of fact, if you're a regular listener to this show, you understand that we really don't speak that well for ourselves.
Speak for yourself.
Well, Shelley and Mark do, but certainly not I. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelley.
And Mark, the solution.
The solution. See, I need a cool
echo,
name.
Echo, echo, echo.
I need a cool name.
It's the Huelhauser Show.
Because I think like when I was in high school... Yeah. Because my last name, I got like nicknames like Burnout.
Dweeb?
No, I never had the Dweeb, but okay. I got Burnout. Okay. For a long time I was Brewster.
Punky?
When I used to drink a lot of beer. Punky. Shelly, you ever have a nickname?
I had several. I had Shelly Smelly and Shelly Belly.
Shell Bell.
And because my last name rhymed with goat, I was Smelly Goat.
Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't fun.
That sucks.
How about you, Mark? Did you ever have any nicknames?
No.
I got a couple in college.
No.
I had Zonker for a while because I was this surfer dude in Oregon, and it's like every time the sun came out, I wanted to go outside, and it's like I wanted to surf at the beach. So it was Zonker from Doonesbury, and then Thumper. We won't go into that one.
Actually, you know, I was Vito for a lot of years.
Vito?
Yeah.
I could see that.
Long story.
I could see it, though.
Yeah.
It should have been Don Corleone.
Don Vito.
You can kiss the ring.
That's right. Shelly's watching a volley here.
Yeah.
Paddle to the right, paddle to the left. Yeah. Paddle to the right, paddle to the left.
Perfect. Well, it's time for the boozy news.
No.
Oh. Pardon me, it's time for a commercial break. Do you know someone who has a problem with drugs or alcohol? You know you want to intervene, but what can you do? Your loved one, friend, or colleague is spiraling out of control. You can help by calling Diversified Intervention Group. You do not have to deal with this problem alone. Call the intervention specialist at 909-559-9568. Diversified Intervention Group specializes in drug and alcohol intervention. We can help break the cycle of addiction. There is hope for recovery. The Diversified Intervention Group is your solution. Call 909-559-9568. Call now before it's too late. We provide services throughout North America. The Diversified Intervention Group. One phone call can make the difference.
Diversified Intervention Group is not a medical provider, nor do we provide medical services. If you feel that you are suffering a life-threatening situation, then immediately call 911 or contact your health care provider. Our drug and alcohol intervention service does not intend to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease.
It's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
All right, what are we got?
Quick. That was quick.
Yeah, I was trying to get her before she had the news ready.
Okay. In
Florida!
If you're going to steal exotic black swans from the city of Orlando, don't turn around and then offer them for sale on Craigslist, because they will catch you.
Yeah.
Stephen Brazil stole the Australia black swans from Lake Eola Park in Orlando. They're worth about $500 each. He took six of them. He was charged with grand theft and animal cruelty.
Grand theft swan.
Wait, how was he cruel to them?
When they pick the swans back up, when they confiscated them.
Yeah.
They were undernourished and traumatized.
Traumatized. Clearly.
That might have been keeping them in the evidence locker for 90 days.
Traumatized. They had the swan psychologist in there talking to them.
Was one of them named Christine Brinkley?
I think so.
You had to listen to old shows to know what that means.
Yeah, you could go back and listen to them, though.
Okay, I went to, just because I was curious, I went to this website because it is 2010. We're coming up on the next decade here. It starts with one. Decades start with one.
Okay.
So they did a retrospective of the most bizarre deaths of the last 10 years.
Sweet.
And I was just curious
about it.
Was
one of them Lawn Chair Larry?
No, that was like 99.
Oh, of the last... Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, in the last decade. This is a blast from the past. In 2004, a Taiwanese woman died of alcohol poisoning after immersion for 12 hours in a bathtub full of ethanol alcohol. She was afraid of getting SARS.
Wow.
The avian bird flu thing.
Yeah.
So she immersed herself in this bathtub full of alcohol. Her blood, and it seeped in through her pores, her blood alcohol content was 1.35.
That's dead.
Yeah.
Is that dead?
Pickled.
They don't even need to preserve your body for the funeral.
Yeah.
You're ready.
That's a good night out right there, boy. 1.35. Wow. Okay.
The 0.35 would do it.
Yeah.
And some people, yeah.
Outstanding.
All right.
Now what?
In Kissimmee,
Florida. Wow.
There has been some Floridas lately.
Florida.
The Kissimmee police conducted a sting operation to round up truant sex offenders and prostitutes and inspect pawn shops. And one of the people rounded up was the Polk County Sheriff's Department chaplain.
Which one was he?
Nice.
Samuel Conley.
Which one was he?
Yeah, what did he
get? Sex offender, prostitute, or?
He was arrested for soliciting a prostitute.
At least it wasn't an altar boy. Was it a girl?
Wow.
It didn't say, actually, in the story.
Some people think that's illegal.
Some people do.
In Florida, it is.
Apparently. Yes, but it kind of, you know, if you're going to be a chaplain during the day, your evening hobby should probably not be picking up prostitutes.
Banging prostitutes.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he was getting ready to do a sermon on Mary Magdalene and he wanted to do some research. Dude, once again, you can use this as a defense.
Yeah.
I have the solution.
There it is.
Marked solution.
That's a good one. That's awesome. Mary Magdalene. The Mary Magdalene defense. It's a Hail Mary play.
It's a Hail Mary play, yeah.
Oh, brother. It took 9 DWI convictions to finally get Texas man George Lee Harvey off the road.
You'd think on the first one they'd just arrest him. That gets you off the road usually.
You know, if you're a Texas guy and Lee Harvey is in your name.
Yeah, you're already in trouble.
You're screwed.
Especially when the judge's name is Jack Ruby.
Yeah. You're a step a little closer.
His 9th conviction happened when he backed his car out of the driveway into the path of another drunk driver. So it was a two for one deal for the cops.
Wow, that's just providence.
He got life in prison.
Wow.
Finally. After 9 DWIs,
He should have gotten Lindsay Lohan's attorney.
Yeah.
Life in prison. For DWIs.
For 9 of them, yeah.
Still.
Well, I think you're a menace to society at that point.
You'd think it'd be the kind of thing that they would, I don't know. Maybe they already sent him to AA a bunch of times. It didn't work.
Once again, it's that water thing.
Yeah. Take him out of the water pool.
Yeah, but it's not taking him out of the water pool.
That's
He's going to be in prison for life. They're going to continue to give him our fresh, clean water.
In fact, we're paying for his water. Well, we're not. The residents of Texas are.
Perfect.
In Weymouth, Massachusetts, law enforcement and city officials are considering a ban on Four Loko. This is our third Four Loko story. It's hot news right now.
Yeah, that's the blackout punch.
Yeah, after police admitted they missed noticing the beverage in a boy's hand during a traffic stop, thinking it was an energy drink. The boy confessed to the police during the traffic stop.
Confess what?
Said, I have an alcoholic drink in my hand, basically.
And then they didn't notice?
And they laughed at him.
What the police were admitting to was that they didn't notice it until he brought it to their attention.
Oh, okay.
To which I am saying, dude, how could you be so stupid?
Well, you know what? I could see that. There's a lot of those energy drinks right now. There's a ton of them.
But, you know, rather than banning it, now that you know that it's there, how about telling the police to watch for it?
Yeah, well, some liquor store owners in the area are offering to pull the drink from their shelves after a number of arrests that were fueled by the drink. One of the problems with it is because it tastes just like fruit punch. I mean, it in and of itself, one can is the equivalent of four beers and like six cups of coffee.
Don't bow to pressure.
So in and of itself, one can isn't, I mean, for us, I mean, that would be like for a normal person, that would be all they drank for that night. But the problem is it tastes like fruit punch and you don't really feel it until you've had like three of them. And the next thing you know, you've had a case of beer.
Servings per container?
Probably three.
Yeah. Just follow the directions. Like a good alcoholic.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, clearly. I'll have 11 of those, please.
A 23-year-old British man died at a party after ingesting two teaspoonfuls of raw caffeine powder.
Wow.
Which is the equivalent of 70 cans of energy drinks.
Wow.
You deserve to die.
Within 15 minutes, he was puking up blood and sweating profusely.
Wow.
I'll bet.
That does not sound like a good way to go either.
No. The stuff was purchased online for about £5, and it said on the package to take only 1/16th of a teaspoon per day.
Once again, follow directions.
He's out of the water pool.
Yeah, he's out of the water pool.
Yeah.
More fresh water for everyone else.
But man, caffeine. I didn't have caffeine overdose. That's... Yikes.
Yeah, that sounds like, I'll tell you what, that didn't sound like a good way to go.
Can you snort it?
Yeesh. I don't know.
Only 1/16th of a teaspoon.
And would it burn?
I'll bet it would.
Would well, most
a
things?
Teaspoon, a flat level teaspoon with a little bit taken off of the tip of the teaspoon is a gram. So, don't ask me how but I remember.
Apparently a gram of caffeine
is
way
kill you.
Too much. Now, do you know what? If it's available in powdered form, there's going to be dudes cutting their cocaine with it. Oh, no, you wouldn't want to, though.
No, you won't do that.
No, you'd be knocking.
That'd be bad. Off. Yeah, your repeat customers would go way down.
Yeah, they're all dead.
Yikes. California trick-or-treaters have been warned to watch out for pot-laced candy or treats this year. Because at medical marijuana stores...
No wonder Chris wants to go trick-or-treating.
At medical marijuana stores, because a lot of people that are prescribed medical marijuana, a lot of people don't want to smoke it because they're not smokers.
Right, they put it in all kinds of
stuff. They put it in brownies. They put it in candies. They put it in little like breakfast bars and stuff like that. And apparently some of these things from these medical marijuana dispensaries have gone missing. So police are projecting that they may be handed out as jokes at Halloween.
Do kids eat anything anymore that isn't factory wrapped?
I don't know. Some kids might. I mean, we did when we were kids. We ate the popcorn balls.
Well, we did when we were kids.
Brownies.
Yeah, when we were kids.
That was before they started putting like razor blades in shit.
My mom used to bake stuff to give out. I mean, like, and it was like, she used to go to like all this trouble. Like, she would bake like these, you know, witch head shaped cookies and stuff. But they weren't like regular cookies. They were almost like these. Like these kind of like cakey brownies and cakey brownie with like a homemade frosting in the middle. I mean, they were awesome. And she would make dozens and dozens and dozens of them. And nobody thought anything about eating them.
We had a lady four doors down to candy apples.
She made candy apples?
She made candy apples.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God, it was great. Used to go there twice.
Yeah.
Used to hit her house early. We'd hit it on the way out and on the way back.
Different mask.
That's right. Just trade your masks.
She's like, you look familiar.
No, I don't.
Boo.
No, I don't.
The coolest, though, is we had a guy that lived around the corner. He actually had a carnival. He was the owner of a carnival.
Mm-hmm.
So he, like, brought the cotton candy machine out, the big one, and made the cotton candy.
Oh, wow. You lived in a cool neighborhood.
I lived in a cool
neighborhood. You know what? You couldn't do that around here. Too many kids.
You'd have a long line.
We had a long line then.
Yeah, I'll bet.
In Newcastle, Pennsylvania... A civil rights lawsuit has been filed after authorities seized a three-day-old baby from her parents when the mother's hospital blood work came back positive for opiates. She had eaten a poppy seed bagel the morning she delivered.
That's what she says.
There, after investigation, there was no other evidence of drug use by the couple, so they're suing.
Did they get the baby back?
Yes, they did. The child was returned 5 days later.
Well, go home. So she actually, a new mother got to sleep for 5 days.
Apparently.
She should be grateful.
Yeah, they should send her a bill.
For child care?
No, for being able to sleep for five days.
Child care. Yeah. We watched the kid for you.
Thanks. I don't know.
You didn't even have to hire us.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd be pretty ticked if it was me.
You know what, though? I mean, I imagine it's something that they're required to do. I mean, it's like if you test positive for opiates, they're probably required to do it. You know, obviously they don't find out right that second. Poppy seed bagel.
It does happen. I mean, remember on food detectors?
Oh, no,
we saw
the thing? You can absolutely. It tells you if you're going to drug test, don't eat any poppy seed bagels. It said that, but. Okay.
Or if you're going to drug test, eat the poppy seed bagel while you're sitting in there waiting to be tested. And carry half of it in with you.
You say, in case you're testing me for heroin, let me eat this poppy seed bagel in front of you.
Yeah.
That'd be a good way to cover your test.
Yeah, and that way they look and they go, are you eating a poppy seed bagel? Yeah. Oh, you got to test at a different time.
Yeah, they'll tell you to come back in a couple days.
I'm out.
In Coos Bay, Oregon.
I've been there. You know what?
What?
Oh, it's not. That was Depot Bay. Okay, I've been in Coos Bay.
Go ahead.
In Coos Bay, Oregon, a man trying to extract THC from marijuana using a butane torch blew up his refrigerator and shattered a window. Fortunately, no one was hurt, dude. To which I say, you're doing it wrong.
Well.
Oh, wow.
You know what's funny? I always extracted THC from weed with a lighter.
I lit it. Yeah, it's called smoking
always.
It.
Yeah, always.
Well, no, he's apparently trying to get it into solution, like with some kind of liquid. It wasn't specific in the story.
Yeah, trying to make pills or something out of it.
But what I want to know is, he blew up his refrigerator, so what was he doing it in the refrigerator? Because the door blew off the refrigerator and smashed through the window.
Well, first of all,
he's trying to be cool.
He's clearly no chemist to start with.
Yeah.
So, you know, he read something somewhere online and said, oh, let me try that. And it involves refrigeration, Freon, and butane, which apparently is explosive.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the boozy news.
It's time for a commercial break.
Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Hey, Shelley.
What?
If I needed a meeting, what should I do?
Oh, it's a little bit late to be asking that.
Turn it up.
Well, no, at this point. It's always nice to know.
That's true. It's only halfway through the show. You could turn the show off or put it on pause or something go to a meeting.
You could turn it off, then go back and turn it on again.
Yeah, turn it up.
No, you need to go to a meeting.
No,
this
if
is
you
not
needed
a
one right now, this is actually, but this is the part of the show that would probably help you
the recovery
most.
Part.
Yeah.
It's like open topic participation.
But this is not a meeting. You need to go to a meeting.
We have two or more gathered.
In his name.
Oh, brother.
There he will be in the midst.
You asked me and I gave you an opinion, so there you go.
There he will be in the mist.
I was just having some fun. Mist.
Midst.
Mist.
I know, I was thinking God in the mist. Kind of like
gorillas in the mist.
In the midst.
Gorillas in the midst.
God's in the midst. That's not sounding right. So what is the topic, Shelly?
The topic is, what was it like when you first got sober? Ordered clean.
Awesome!
A lot better than before.
Better than the day before.
That's right.
Actually, isn't that true? First day you got sober
was
seemed
definitely
a hell of a
better.
Lot better than the last day you got loaded.
Yeah. Because if it wasn't, the we'd next day,
be on, I'd be
you
loaded
got
yet.
Loaded, yeah.
How about you, Charlie? What was it like for you?
Well, I don't
in
know.
The
I was,
beginning?
I don't know. The first day I got sober, I was hooked up to a heart monitor in the intensive inpatient unit at Inner Community Hospital.
Was that because of what you were doing the day before?
Well, the 2 days before.
Well, then see, it was absolutely better.
Well, I don't know. I was hooked up to all these heart monitors because my blood pressure was so out of whack, and I was detoxing, and I had pancreatitis, and I was on the verge of death, and they wouldn't even let me get up to go to the bathroom, which, of course, I did not obey. I got up to go to the bathroom, and then you'd hear over the loudspeaker, Mrs. Burnett, please get back into bed.
How did they know you were in the bathroom?
Because I was hooked up to heart monitors, and every time I moved, my blood rate, my heart pressure, blood pressure would go skyrocketing up. So they knew that I was moving. I was supposed to lay there in bed and not move.
We don't take direction well.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Newcomers don't take direction.
They came in and give you one of those strange-looking plastic things?
Yeah.
Pee in that?
Yeah, I refused. I kept getting up to go to the bathroom, which meant I had to lug my IV and my heart monitor.
Yeah, no wonder your heart rate went up.
And all this.
Yeah.
I got to push all this equipment.
Carry a 40-pound back.
Yeah.
Me carry all this equipment with me.
I was pushing all this equipment across the room into the bathroom.
Yeah.
But no, my first day of getting sober was not fun. I was covered in my own sweat. I was hallucinating.
Well, not the first day, but how about when you first came in?
I don't know. My first meeting was kind of scary, even though I'd been to a bazillion AA meetings when I was a kid with my dad. But part of my problem was I was going through early sobriety and menopause and dealing with bipolar all at the same time. I mean, I'd always known there was something wrong. I had never been diagnosed bipolar. And at that point, I still didn't know, but I was dealing with mental issues at the same time. So I was going through all of that all at once. And it really was not fun for me. I didn't have a pink cloud. I had a black cloud.
It was really fortunate you didn't have a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. It was a very rough year and a half, the first year and a half for me.
How about you, Mark?
You know, I had never been exposed to the program before that. So the first meeting I went to was the first meeting I had ever gone to. And I went, and it was just, I know it was better because I was pretty much done when I showed up. But coming into the program, I mean, I came into CA. I went to an AA meeting was my first meeting ever. The next night I went to a CA meeting and really related to what was going on there. But when I came into CA, I mean, I shared the other night with some people. When I came into CA, there were two guys in the room who had like 16 months sober.
And they were the old timers.
They were by far the old timers. You know, I mean, these guys had been around since the beginning of CA. So, right. You know, it was like, wow. And you listen to them, and they talked like old timers, they acted like old timers, they sounded like old timers, they gave direction like old timers.
They said they want to hear from you.
Not at all. We want to hear from you, not at all. Cotton out of ears, in mouth.
All
sit,
16 months of them.
Shut up, listen.
Nice.
You might learn something.
Nice.
And then, you know, and then it was really strange because we traveled around to meetings. Meetings were like in a 40-mile radius.
Yeah, you went
to
where they were.
Yeah, it wasn't like, which meeting am I going to go to tonight? There was like the Tuesday meeting.
The meeting.
And the Thursday meeting and the Friday meeting. You know, you went wherever there were meetings.
Man. So. Well, when I first went to meetings, I went to AA meetings. And there was lots of them. There was no problem finding them. The problem was I didn't really – it's not that I didn't relate at all because I could relate. People used to tell me, you know, don't you know, they say alcohol, you think drugs, you know, I mean, it was like that kind of thing, you know, try and relate to the feelings being shared rather than the whatever your specific drug is. But I must say, as a coke addict, when I used to do lots of coke, because, you know, I'm a trash can addict, I'll do whatever it is you have. But I remember going and sitting in a meeting and hearing who is a cocaine addict, and I'm listening to that, and I'm like, you couldn't have pegged me or any other coke addict more closely than with that reading. And I was like, oh, my God. It's how I would imagine chapter 3 is in the big book to someone who's a pure alcoholic. They're like, oh, my God, that's so me. I'm that way with who is a cocaine addict.
Except for taking physical exercise?
Well, you know, I didn't try that.
Okay.
I read some inspirational books. One of them was called The Big Book.
So go back 20 years, 11 months, and 3 weeks.
Well, I'll tell you what. The first bit of recovery I had was awesome. Went to Los Encinas Hospital. I mean, I couldn't figure out why I hadn't gotten sober a long time before, because it was like being in your own private little resort, sort of. And, you know, I mean, there was stuff. I mean, there was trout almondine for dinner, and there was massage therapy, and there was a putting green, and you got your own little bungalow cabin. And I was like, this rocks. And when I got out of there, I'm like, what happened to my bitchin' world of recovery? Because all of a sudden, I'm at my house.
But go back 20 years, 11 months, and 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Because Las Encinas is, I think, further back than that.
Right.
I'm talking about when
you got it.
Oh. Yeah, I was on the roof
of
the Alano Club. And you know what? Even though I was on the roof of the Alano Club in my brand flipping new sleeping bag, I was okay with being there. I mean, I didn't dig being there, but it was better than where I had been. And I had been to meetings for so long, so many times, I always knew it would work. But I always knew that I was doing something wrong or that something was wrong, because I'd see other people getting it. And for a long time, I fought with the fact that I wasn't getting it. And you know what? There was many times where I went to lots and lots and lots of meetings, and I would turn around and get loaded. And I could never, ever figure out why I did that. And, you know, then guys would tell me, it's because you weren't ready. You know, you were getting sober because you needed to get sober, but you weren't getting sober because you wanted to get sober. Yeah, you needed to. Your body's falling apart. You're going to freaking die. But I didn't really want it. You know, we know people like that right now. I know people that are going to meetings and they're mouthing this and mouthing that. And it's like, I don't even think they really want to be sober. They just want to go hang out where people be cool with them.
Yeah.
Now, Shelly.
Yes.
Your last time around. Because what you talked about before was when you were in the hospital. Your last time around, after you drank that entire bottle of vodka.
Yeah, the whole 1 ounce of it.
That
was pretty rough too. For about 6 months, I had a really hard, I didn't know if I was going to stay married. I didn't know if I was going to stay in California. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I couldn't, all I remember doing was a lot of writing and a lot of meeting with my sponsor and a lot of crying. I had this black cloud over my head, and it cleared up a little bit around 6 months. Interestingly enough, I cleared up right when I became the secretary of the Monday night meeting. That sort of gave me a little bit more purpose, having a big commitment. Like, you know, now I have a big responsibility. It's not like I'm the coffee maker and I can call somebody and say, hey, can you cover my commitment? You know, I had to be there.
You could do that as a secretary too, if you had to.
Yeah, if you had to, but it's kind of like you really got to be there. And I mean, I took commitments at all kinds of meetings because I was told to, and that saved my butt on many occasions, having commitments. I never got the pink cloud. I never had the pink cloud. Plus, you know, trying to get my psych meds right, dealing with the bipolar stuff, you know, that threw me into charter a couple of times because I went a little suicidal, you know, and that happened, all of that happened in the first 2 years. So, you know, come this January, it'll be 2 years since the last time I was in charter.
Yeah.
So the last 2 years have been a lot better than the first 2 years were. But the first 2 years didn't, the whole thing didn't suck. It was just, I mean, things got a lot better at around a year after I got out of charter. But I can't say that it was a bed of roses, but I stuck with it because, honestly, there was nowhere else for me to go. I mean, I could either drink and die, or I could just keep doing what I was doing and hope it got better. And I took it all on faith. I just said, you know, I'm just going to listen to my sponsor and just do what she tells me to do because I don't have any other alternative. I really don't. And I was okay with that. I mean, I knew that things, you know, my sponsor kept telling me, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. No matter where I was emotionally or how bad I felt, she just kept telling me that you're right where you're supposed to be.
That's what we're told to tell you guys.
That's in the official sponsor's handbook.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, absolutely. It worked for me because I kept saying, okay.
It's okay. You're right where you're supposed to be.
Well, it worked for me because I kept thinking, okay, fine. If this is what it is, that's what it is for right now. It'll get better. And it did get better. It just took a while.
You know what? That's what my final words on that would be, really, is, you know what? However you felt and however I felt when I was there, I was right exactly the way God wanted me to be and feel at that moment. You know, and I didn't know it then. But it really was. It's like the old story. You had to do everything exactly as you did it to be exactly where you are today. Because if you went back and changed something, everything after that would change. Mark.
Yes.
What's the solution?
Well, I was just thinking about, I think one of the things that really helped for me is when I came into the program, like I said, you went to where the meetings were. So we had an opportunity to start a lot of meetings. You know, so there was always somebody in the group starting a new meeting. You know, hey, let's have a meeting here. Let's try one here. Let's do, and that was just a lot of fun because you always picked up. It was really easy to pick up commitments because when you started a meeting, you were the first. You know, you were the first five.
Right.
You know, hey, let's start a meeting. Okay, let's go over here and start a meeting. And you know, six people would show up for the first meeting. Well, y'all got a commitment.
Yeah.
So you know, so it was really easy.
You might even have
two
commitments.
And it was really fun because you could try different things.
Outstanding. Shelley.
Yes?
Do we have any friends back east?
We do. We have a friend named Bruce.
The other way, I mean.
Yes, he runs the 12-Step Gazette. Go to 12stepgazette.com. That's the number 12, 1 and 2. stepgazette.com, and you can read his publication online, or he can email it to you, or you can subscribe, and he will send it to you in the post.
The post.
Eventually.
We have intherooms.com. That is the online sort of Facebook of recovery at intherooms.com. You can join groups like Friends of Recovery 101. You can join the A of your choice. You can go to online meetings there. There's all kinds of different groups, actually, that you can join. It's all for free. It's all for fun. They got speaker tapes. They got all kinds of goodies. It's absolutely free, intherooms.com. Mark, do we have any email addresses and videos?
Recovery101radio@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com, and recovery_101@hotmail.com. And you can see videos at youtube.com/easylook. And youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Sweet!
We need some new videos.
Yep, we do. We really do. Shelly?
Uh-huh.
Who's the lead-out music by?
Peter Frampton.
Peter Frampton?
Yeah, you're going to have to find me a sample.
I thought it might be our recovery band of the month, but...
Oh, okay. Well, but let's change it then.
No, let's do Peter Frampton.
Let's do Peter Frampton.
Okay.
Do you.
You. Feel like I do.
That was the song I was thinking of, actually.
Yeah. Smoke a joint. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
We are out.
Take care of you.
Well, I woke up this morning with a wine glass in my hand. Who's my